Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9. We're here at that conference. We're day two. It's pretty exciting. We just had a really crazy keynote from an FBI guy.
I know.
Scared the pants off of me. I'm just saying. I put him back on, though, thankfully. We are here on the That Conference mess hall stage with the fire and everything. We're pretty excited. I'm here with Angela Dugan. How are you?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
Great. So what do you do?
So, well, at the conference, I actually have a couple of roles.
Okay.
So I work for a local consulting firm, Polaris Solutions.
Okay.
So I run the ALM practice. So for me, it's all about Team Foundation Server, which is probably how we met. And I do a lot of things around process improvement and Scrum and Agile coaching. But also, while I'm here at the conference, I'm actually a conference organizer, hence the really bright
shirt. Yeah, I mean, I told her, hey, can you have your shirt be quiet a little bit? It's pretty loud.
Right. So as part of the conference, you know, I help with registration. I run game night. Well, my husband helps me run game night. I want to make sure to give him props.
Yes.
I do the kids crafting stuff and just kind of run around and help the team.
Fantastic. So you're like having like five different hats here all at the same time.
That's which fantastic. I guess is kind of my lot in life. That's what I tend to do, right?
So you're also a speaker though, right?
I am also a speaker.
Tell us about your topic.
Yeah. So my topic is actually one that you know, not ironically, kind of was intimidating to do. So I'm doing a talk on imposter syndrome.
I've heard about it.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that I think a lot of people in IT tend to suffer from.
Yeah.
It's not something a lot of people talk about, right? And it's one of those funny things where I always knew I had it. I didn't know there was like a name for it. And I didn't really talk about it much until, and I'm totally going to give him credit for this. I didn't talk about it until I read about, officially on Scott Hanselman's blog.
I see.
Remember reading it and being like, dude, if Hanselman is admitting that he feels like a phony sometimes, it totally made it acceptable, right? And it made me feel like I should talk to other people about it because it can't just be me.
Sure. So let's see what the definition is. And you said there's some kind of test. Obviously, you're not going to be able to rattle it off memory. I can't remember. Maybe you can.
I can't remember.
Maybe we can talk about maybe some of the questions that sort of hit you the most when we talk about imposter. So what is imposter syndrome?
Yeah. So I'm not a psychologist, right? Computer scientist all the way. But my definition of it, I guess, is feeling like you got to where you are by luck or by chance. You don't deserve to be there. Right, and that's probably the easiest way to boil it down. And another way it comes out is just always feeling like you have to over-prepare because you feel like you're not going to be ready for what you're being asked to do. It's more than just being nervous, right? It's literally feeling like I don't deserve to be here. And so that's kind of the core of imposter syndrome. Now, there is a test online. I'm sure there's plenty of them. I'm actually going to talk about in my talk today. I'm going to have a link to the one that I took.
Cool.
And I'd actually shared it with a lot of my coworkers, peers, people that I looked up to, and found that a lot of them actually scored higher than me, and I scored pretty high. So it was pretty surprising, and maybe we can share the link out so folks could, you know, take a look at it for themselves.
So, okay, so this is my challenge. Where there's got to be a line between, like, humility and imposter syndrome. Is there a line?
There is. So the funny thing is I actually talk about humility in my talk.
Okay.
Because I say one of the things that, you know, you have to look at imposter syndrome, like some people look at it and they only think of it in a bad way. They hear the word syndrome and you think,
it's like
this
I got
is
an illness.
Yeah,
this take
is
a pill.
This is something I need to cure. I need to get rid of this. And one of the things I talk about in the talk is it's not a bad thing, right? Because for a lot of people, imposter syndrome is what pushes us to excel, right? It pushes us to try harder. But it also helps us to realize that we don't know everything, and sometimes we do need to ask for help, and that's kind of where the humility part comes in.
I see.
And the thing there is some people think of humility as, you know, is me belittling myself or being like, oh, no, I really don't. But that's not really what the true definition of humility is, right? It's all about understanding that you have limitations and appreciating that.
Yeah.
And then just looking outward where you need to, right? So I think there's a little bit of, you know, some connotations around humility that I think aren't always the healthiest ways to think about it.
So you talked about the good aspect of imposter syndrome, like where sort of more humility and understanding your limitations. Where is it like turn into like a bad thing that you need to really actively work against?
Yeah, and this is, I think, what was my turning point is you get to a point where it can overwhelm you, right? And you kind of feel like you have a brick wall. Like I'm almost frozen with fear because I don't feel like I can, you know, meet what people's expectations are.
Sure.
And so I just kind of shut down. Also, it can cause you to do things like over prepare, right? You end up obsessing about things way more than you need to. which again, there's some good and some bad, because right. sometimes you end up learning stuff you wouldn't have learned otherwise.
Sure.
But psychologically, I mean, it can be hard on you, right? It can be really exhausting.
So when it comes to like, when it tips over to an obsession kind of thing, that's when you need to know maybe there's something you can do to pull back.
Right.
And what are those things that you can do maybe to pull back?
Right. So it, and I'm by no means an expert, right?
No, I'm asking how you did it. Maybe I could help me out.
You know, for me, sometimes I just have to have a quick reality check, yeah. right? I just kind of have to pause and say, okay, what really are the expectations other people have of me? And what are the expectations that I'm kind of putting on myself?
Sure.
And so sometimes you have to ask yourself that question to figure out, you know, have I kind of gone too far? And where do I really need to stop to do what's right for whatever it is I'm trying to do?
Right.
Right? So it's, and you know, one of the big things I talk about in the talk is it's also about recognizing it in others.
Okay.
I feel like sometimes, and this is kind of a cultural thing at organizations, where some people don't feel like they can be honest, right?
I see.
They feel like they have to over-prepare, or they have that imposter syndrome because they're afraid if they make a mistake that, you know, the limelight's on them and everyone is gonna kind of call them out for being a phony. And most of the time that's not true, but you do have to be careful about that, because I mean, I've certainly worked in organizations where that is kind of the culture. You know, if you
right.
make a mistake, you know, maybe people kind of, maybe they just make fun of you a little, and maybe
right.
it's in good fun, but not everyone deals with that the same way. So you kind of have to make sure you're looking at it in other people too, because you want a safe environment for people to be open and honest and vulnerable with the team.
It seems like we all have a little bit of imposters. I know I might, maybe, you know, I don't know. So what are some of the questions that are on that test that you remember? That
yeah.
maybe I could try to answer here,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. So,
bury
so,
my soul.
Bury your soul to
yeah,
the world.
Yeah.
So like a couple of the questions are, you know, do you ever feel like you've gotten to where you are in life because of luck and not because you deserved it?
Well, for me, I think it's very lucky how I've gotten to my, where I am. If I've deserved it or not, I don't know. I don't know.
Right. You know, there were questions about, you know, do you often feel like you can't possibly meet the expectations of the people around you, or that you're going to disappoint people that you look up to?
Well, to be honest, not so much. Not so much. I mean, like, look, my job is to be a buffoon in front of the camera and ask good questions, right? How hard can that be? You're doing all the hard work, right? So maybe I'm not so much there. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
can you remember another one?
Oh, geez. I feel like now that I'm putting on the spot, I'm totally blanking out.
Well, while you're thinking, I'll tell you my first sort of run-in with this imposter syndrome was when I was still in college, and I was a consultant, and I would go into places, and they would charge $140 an hour for my time.
Right.
And I was like, there's no way I know enough to be paid that. My boss, Bill, his name is Bill DeBevick. I will not forget what he told me. He said, Seth, they're not paying you because you know everything. They're paying you because you will figure it out faster than they ever will. And after that, I thought about that, and it sort of stayed with me. And I'm glad I got that good sort of coaching early on.
Right.
Because I think every person in our field is that way, right?
Right.
You will figure out, even if you're just a really good at Excel, that's still better than almost 90,000,000% of the people, right? That's
right.
A made-up number. I'm not good at Excel.
Well, and I've got a number I'll throw out that's not made up.
Okay.
I was doing some of the research about imposter syndrome, is they were saying up to 70% of all people are affected by it at some point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's definitely kind of a scale, some people more than others. But yeah, it's kind of shocking. I threw this same survey, I threw it out to a bunch of my friends. Some were MVPs, Microsoft employees, mm-hmm. coworkers, friends. Not everyone was in IT, because I wanted to try to get
sure,
kind of
wide,
a spectrum,
yeah.
like lawyers, teachers, things like that. You just didn't know, right? There were people who I felt like they're always up on stage, they deliver talks at conferences, and they had much higher scores than even me. And when I gave this talk a few months ago at a local conference, and people were shocked when I showed what my number was, because they're like, come on, you used to work for Microsoft, you did launch events, right? You get on TV with people like Seth. Right? But that doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, sometimes terrified that I'm going to
sure.
say the wrong thing, or I'm not going to know the answer to a question. And you know, at the end of the day, you have to kind of put it in perspective. Like, what are you afraid of? You don't know the answer. You
cool.
can look it up, right? It's
so
that kind of thing.
We've talked a little bit about imposter. So if you could finish up with, how can you identify that you've got the bad kind? And what are maybe one or two things you can do to sort of make it a little bit better?
Sure.
What do you suggest?
So certainly some things to identify it is look at the types, look at what drives your decisions, right? Like for instance, I've had some pretty awesome opportunities given to me that I've turned down because I was nervous that I couldn't kind of live up to the expectations, right? And those are the kinds of things where you look at the opportunities that you end up losing out on because of that, right? Like, you know, I almost didn't take the job offer from Microsoft because I remember thinking like, who am I to work for a place like Microsoft? And it ended up being fantastic. It was great. And I did fine.
Yeah, of
right?
course you did. You're fantastic.
I did fine. So it's looking at things like that. Do you find yourself, you know, walking away from really fantastic opportunities because of this fear of unknown, right?
Yeah.
You're not really sure what's going on there. And some of the things that you can do for sure is I found that being a mentor is a fantastic way, whether it's official or not,
okay.
right? You can have like a mentor program or you can just have someone that you're kind of helping through the ropes, but showing someone else kind of, this is how we make it through. This is how you come up against difficult situations. You find yourself saying, I know that. Yeah, these are the things that I thought I struggled with,
right.
And clearly, you know, what will definitely help you figure out that you know more than you think you do
sure.
is helping someone else.
That's awesome.
Right? So being a mentor has been really big for me.
Well, this is awesome. Where can people go to find out more about you and about this imposter syndrome?
Sure. So if you're here at that conference, I have a talk tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be giving a talk on imposter syndrome.
Sure.
I also have a blog, tfswhisper.com.
Nice.
So I actually, I haven't done a blog yet. I was waiting until after I did the presentation,
sure.
and then I was going to do a nice blog post on it.
Sure.
And all my slides from my Chicago Code Camp talk on imposter syndrome
awesome.
Are out on slideshare.net. But they are going to be kind of improved and enhanced
cool.
for
well,
Chicago
Well, we'll have
Code
to get
Camp.
Some links there
yep.
and put them on the show notes.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Thanks so much for being with us. We're at that conference on the Mess Hall stage. Here in Wisconsin Dells, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.